Welcome to Two Wings to God. I'm your host, Rob Agnelli. Every Christian is enamored with the life of St. Paul. In many ways, he represents the prototype of a disciple of Jesus, tireless as a preacher, willing to suffer any hardship for the gospel, up to and including giving his life in martyrdom. What was the secret of his great Christian zeal? Stay tuned to today's episode to find out.
Let me hear your words above all other voices, above all the distractions in this world.
John 3:16. You might only be a sports fan and not a Christian, but everyone knows this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is the basis of all Christian doctrine. God loves us, and his Son died for our sins. And it is true, as far as it goes. And that is the problem. Most of us never go any further. We are content with knowing that God loves us, and that Jesus died for all of us. This was not the secret to St. Paul's discipleship, a secret he lets the Galatians in on in chapter 2, verses 20. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, St. Paul moves from God's love for us, a generic love for all of mankind, to a very specific love. He said, God loves me. That is his secret. And in fact, it is the secret of all discipleship. Once I am able to move from the us to the me, to personalize that love for me, then I am willing to do anything. It is this conviction that will animate everything I do. I am willing to do anything for him because he has my absolute trust, because he loves me and he gave his life for me. For many of us, this movement from us to me remains elusive. So today I would like to offer a way for that conviction to take hold, a way that can change the way you live out your prayer life profoundly. We begin with a reminder and then an event in the life of Christ. This is all we need to get the ball rolling. The reminder is regarding the Christian belief in what we call the hypostatic union. It's just a big word with an important implication. It means, in essence, that the person of the Son, being one person, has two natures. He is fully God and fully man. Nature is what a thing is. And more importantly for what we're going to talk about, it determines what a thing could do. Christ had two natures. That means he had two modes of operation. He could operate as God or he could operate as man. He got hungry, he got thirsty as man. He could perform miracles as God. He complained of being thirsty to the woman at the well using his human nature. He spoke using his human nature. He died using his human nature. He raised Lazarus from the dead using his divine nature. So he always had, at all times, two ways of acting. But he also had two ways of knowing, human and divine. But either way, it was always the same person who did those things or knew those things. Now, let's take the event, the agony in the garden. Because he is God, the person, Jesus Christ, the Son, the eternal Son of God, could know all of our sins, could see all of them throughout time. He could see each and every sin that you and I would commit. He had to in order to make reparation for them. It was only just that he could see each one of our sins. If he didn't see it, it isn't going to happen. If he didn't carry it, it isn't forgiven. And in fact, that burden is so great that it spills over and he sweats blood. Now, nearly all of us will agree with this, but there's a flip side of this that we often forget. Not only could he see all of our sins, but he could also see all of our good acts, all the fruit of his suffering. He could see them in that moment. And in fact, in that moment, they brought him comfort. And at the very end of the agony garden, we see this creature, this angel, come to him and offer him comfort. And one would think that the angel was reminding him of all of the good that would come from his agony in the garden, all the good actions. And in some ways, this brought him comfort, lessened his suffering in the garden. In fact, St. John Paul II said that we can have mercy on Jesus. Here's what he says in his encyclical called Dives in Misericordia. He says, Christ, precisely as the crucified one, is the word that does not pass away, and he is the one who stands at the door and knocks at the heart of every man without restricting his freedom, but instead seeking to draw from this very freedom love, which is not only an act of solidarity with the suffering Son of Man, but also a kind of mercy shown by each one of us to the Son of the Eternal Father. In the whole this whole messianic program of Christ, in the whole revelation of mercy through the cross, could man's dignity be more highly respected and ennobled? For in obtaining mercy, man is in a sense the one who has at the same time shows mercy. So what John Paul II is saying here is that it's possible for us to show mercy to Christ by our actions, because Christ saw those good actions in the garden and on the cross. And this is where the Catholic notion of offering it up comes from. We can suffer with Jesus, and we can suffer for Jesus. And because in some mysterious way, our good works are willingly offering up our sufferings, eases his suffering. This is how St. Paul himself finds meaning in suffering when he tells the Colossians that he rejoices in his sufferings for their sake because he makes up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Not as if the sufferings of Christ are somehow lacking something, but our participation is lacking. And so St. Paul finds meaning in his suffering, knowing that he's participating in the cross of Christ. Now, this event was not unique. If we go to the cross, we would see, once again, Christ paying for our sins. And once again, that same phenomenon of him somehow, his suffering being eased on the cross by the good that he's seeing, not just the evil that he has to pay for, but the good that he's seeing. Not only did he see Mary and the beloved disciple at the foot of the cross, but he sees all of us united with him. But these are only two events in his life. But Pope Pius XII, in his encyclical Mystici Corporis Christi, on the mystical body of Christ, says this: "For hardly was he conceived in the womb of the Mother of God when he began to enjoy the beatific vision. And in that vision, all the members of his mystical body were continually and unceasingly present to him, and he embraced them with his redeeming love. Oh, marvelous condescension of divine love for us! Oh, inestimable dispensation of boundless charity! In the crib, on the cross, in the unending glory of the Father, Christ has all of the members of the Church present before him and united to him in a much clearer and more loving manner than that of a mother who clasps her child to her breast, than that with which a man knows and loves himself." End quote. So what Pius XII is saying here is that at each moment of Christ's life, we were present to him. He could see us and we were there. And this moment in which we're there always has this opportunity for both an act of sin or an act of love. And every action that he does, because he is always the Redeemer, he's never off duty. Every action that he does, he has me in mind. He has you in mind. And so each event, when he preaches the Beatitudes, his message is directly for me. And it's for me right now, right here. When he's sad at the grave of Lazarus, he wins a grace for me to endure in the face of loss. He has me in mind. In fact, this one truth will forever change the way we pray. Now, when I meditate upon the life of Christ and in specific events, I speak directly to him about the grace that he wanted to give me was in that moment. And it's a grace that he's going to give me, and it's there for my taking. I just need to seize it. And in fact, I can even come to expect it because that event was for me. I was there present with him. Think about this too. It also has a profound effect on the way we pray the rosary. This is why we call them mysteries, because the events contain so much more than meets the eye. But also because there's fruit in it for you and for me, for each one of us, each time we pray them. In short, how do I know that Christ died for me? Because I was there, in his mind, present with him. For this and more on all aspects of our divine faith, navigate over to www.twowingstogod.com. That's www.twowingstogod.com. Everything else will fade away, but one